This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network. I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to take a stand. Take a stand.
Welcome, welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We're so glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM on this beautiful Monday afternoon. I trust and hope that you are doing well. If you want to give us a call today on the show, the numbers to do so are 323-6232. That's 323-6232 or 325-4316, 325-4316. Or 325-4259, 325-4259. If you're in the Family Islands, you can call us on 242-300-5720. That's 242-300-5720. You can text us on 422-4796. That's 422-4796. Or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. That's 439-3043. We are live on Cable Bahamas, channel 969. That's the way my mother listens to the show. Or you can catch us on BTC Flow channel 612. That's BTC Flow channel 612. So, you know, I have studied economics for years, finance for years, you know, investment, foreign direct investment for years. And for years, I've heard something in the realm of all of those things that have that has continued to puzzle me. I mean, literally puzzle me. I ain't tell you on a lie. Puzzle me, right? And I heard it recently. So, and here's how it goes. This is how it goes. So, the Bahamas does not have more land tourists, you know, stopover tourists, because we don't have the room capacity. We need more hotels. Because if we had more hotels, we'd have more stopover tourists. It's that philosophy of build it and they will come. Philosophy, right? I heard this from Deputy Prime Minister and Minister of Tourism, Chester Cooper, today when he was opening the British Colonial Hilton, the ribbon cutting for the newly renovated British Colonial Hilton. Congratulations to them and to the country, and God bless them, and I hope they do exceptionally well. But he alluded to the fact that if we, this is a good sign for us that the British Colonial Hilton is coming back on stream, because we need more room, we need more hotel rooms, and because our stopover visitation is being limited by that fact. And that puzzles me. That puzzled me for years, because frankly, for years in the Bahamas, I was not aware. And if you are aware, and again, I'm deadly serious, if you are aware of a time where the hotels in the Bahamas, all of them, were saying, No. We can't take any more of you. We literally can't take any more of you. I'd like somebody to tell me when that happened. I've heard about hotel occupancies of 80% and 90% or so forth and so forth. But I don't know, other than maybe the period where Atlantis was was under construction and that there, you know, a lot of the rooms had gone been taken offline. But it, does the Bahamas have a request for multiple tens of hundreds of thousands of tourists who are saying, I'd love to come to you, but you don't have any hotel rooms? Like when were we there? And I'm dead serious. Maybe somebody knows. Maybe a former minister of tourism knows. Maybe a former Christian in tourism knows. I just don't get that, because to my mind, I could be absolutely wrong on this now. To my mind, people in the investment business, in the tourism investment business, see that the Bahamas has such a demand for tourist rooms, sit around and just twiddle their fingers and say, well, you know, I'm building no more room. Even Bahama was built and substantially replaced rooms. They added some, but it wasn't like any, it wasn't like this was a massive hundreds of room replacement. I mean, additions, right? It replaced rooms. Same thing with Atlantis. It did add hundreds, but it did also take some rooms offline. But like in Cuba, they're building hotel after hotel after hotel. Government owned them, mind you, but they're building them, operated by foreign concerns. But like, why would investors, touristic investors, why would the government, knowing that there is this demand for tourists, and somebody would have to show me where is the evidence of that demand? I'm not saying that people don't want to come to the Bahamas, and there are lots of people who don't want to come to the Bahamas. I'm not saying that at all. I'm not saying from time to time we don't have periods where our room stock might be tight. But I'm saying, if the constraint on our tourism growth is hotel rooms, like, wouldn't there be like a demand indicating that? Or maybe it is the case that when they build the rooms, the demand follows. Well, if that is true, why would the people who are in the investment, tourism investment business, why would the Bahamas be doing such a lousy job attracting hotel investors? Alokaya has been sitting there now for how long? How long? It was sitting there for so long, the government under the Minnis administration bought it. And then we heard it was a bad deal that they bought it for, or tried to sell it for. And then we heard there's lots of interest in it. And 2 years later, the hotel is still sitting there in a place where we are told the demand for tourism is great. And that the constraint on us is hotel rooms. Well, isn't that a hotel sitting up there with a bunch of rooms? I've heard this from Deputy Prime Minister Chester Cooper today, but I have heard that for ages. And I just don't get it. I don't get it. And it may just be one of those puzzles. I just don't understand. I don't get it. Quite frankly, you know, we say we have now over 8 million tourists. That's what we say. We say we have over 8 million. Now, mind you, of course, tourism is the keeper of tourism statistics for the most part. But there's no other place, no other way to corroborate that it is, in fact, 8 million tourists that we have received. How do we know that's so? I'm told that it may not be so. So I'm told. I'm told it might be hundreds of thousands less than we are saying. Is that so? How would we know? Who could verify that? Of course, if you're the cruise liners, you can verify what the numbers are. If you're the hotels can verify what the numbers are in terms of stopover. The Hotel Association, which tends to keep these numbers and even give us predictions But what they think the numbers are going to be like might be able to corroborate it. But how do we know that it's actually 8 million? You know, it's this hotel demand an issue remains for me a mystery. And if you are someone who could clarify the mystery, I'd be happy to hear it. I'm not denying that if you build a hotel, a good operator could get a hotel, get passengers to the hotel. But I'm assuming that an attractive tourism destination like the Bahamas, if there is such a pent-up demand for us, would attract investors in this area as opposed to what we now see. The British Colonial Hilton was being renovated from the time of Minas. It may even have been before that. It's been a long time. What new hotel has come online in the Bahamas in the last 5 years? 7, 10 years. What new hotel other than Bahama? Something ain't right. Something don't sound right about it. And I mean, like, seriously, listen, we need the bodies here. We need the tourists. We need the spending. And you notice that we always talk about record numbers, but we never talk about record spending. Y'all ever notice that? How does that work? Record numbers, almost by 800,000 more since 2022, but no record spending. We didn't hear about it. Wouldn't it be grand if the Guardian had as his front stage story, Bahamas has record spending in tourism? We have the number of tourists. Why not record spending in tourism? Did I miss that headline? I could have. Record spending in tourism. Somebody said to me in Texas, the show the other day, they said, listen, Lang, the quality, like, even if the tourist numbers are real, like, we're not feeling it. Now, you may not yourself be feeling it. That's true. But it is true, though, that the numbers should translate into something qualitatively speaking to the economic life of a people. And I'm sure if you're at a hotel, you're benefiting if the numbers are up. If you're in the tourism business, you're getting employed there, the numbers are up, that helps you, et cetera. But we never hear of record spending. The Aguilar announced record 7+ million, never announced record spending. Uber announced record numbers, 8 million, never announced record spending. But isn't the spending the number that matters the most? Let's suppose we had 6 million tourists on record spending. Would anybody be angry? No. Right? You wouldn't be angry. If you had 6.5 million and more record spending, you wouldn't be angry. So wouldn't it be grand if the record numbers reflected record spending? What are we not doing? Or what are we doing? What is it that we don't know? Or what is it that we're probably not saying, or maybe we just don't know what was happening? Or am I talking nonsense? It could be. Could be one of them days for me, you know. It's Texas. Good afternoon, Mr. Lang. What is happening is we don't have enough rooms for about 8 to 10 weeks a year. Easter, Thanksgiving, New York, East weekend, and a few other U.S. holidays. So the investor maybe is looking at the downtime and how to make a good profit. Okay. Hey, that sounds plausible to me. I get that. So you're saying that when the tourists really want to come from the U.S. in their peak periods, we can't supply them, but in the other days, they don't know what to do to make money. Oh, that's New Year's Eve. Okay, thank you. That's not, that's, I mean, that's fairly, that's pretty, that's a pretty good explanation, actually. That's a pretty good explanation. That's not good though. But what do the hotels, what do the hotels that are here do all the other times? Because I don't get that, because I get from them, they've had a fairly, especially since the pandemic, they've had a fairly robust period. They, you know, we now started talking about what they started talking about now, non-seasonal tourism as a reality for the Bahamas. So, but I take your explanation as plausible. I don't know that that is the explanation, but it's certainly a good rational one. I appreciate it. Thanks a lot. This text says, was the VAT implemented to go towards the national debt or to go towards a deficit? Was it to pay a debt or run a country? Well, I can, the narrative when the VAT was being introduced was that it was going to be used to pay down the debt. Was some of the VAT money used to pay your debt? I have every belief there was, but it clearly has not paid down the debt. Okay, so it was the debt, not the deficit. The deficit, in order to get the debt down, you have to eliminate the deficit. Okay, so that's how you, that's how it works. You don't run a deficit and then pay your debt down. You kind of don't run a deficit, and then you can take your surplus and you can contribute that toward your debt pay down. This Texas was the VAT. Okay, you said that. It's a foreign direct investment. Yeah. So how many islands of the 700 do we still own? Seven or eight? How many of the 700 islands do we still own? First of all, I dare you to find me on a map of the Bahamas 700 islands. That's the first thing. Anybody, I go find 700 islands for me. Secondly, we own most of those islands if they are, they exist, most of them. This text says Airbnb is providing those rooms and you will tax the people out of owning the industry once they try to own tourism. I see. You think so? You think that Airbnb is, wouldn't Airbnb numbers be included in our tourism numbers? Because remember, we can count the tourists coming in on their way in because they have to fill out a form. So they would be included in the numbers, okay? So what's the difference between a resort and a hotel? Well, I think what I have been told is a resort has an abundance more amenities. So you could have a hotel that's just rooms, right? So you could just have a rooms and that's your hotel. Resorts have spas and they have you know, all kind of pool facilities and they have, you know, entertainment facilities. So it depends on the amount of amenities that a hotel has that turns it into a resort. This text says, are we mad because the PLP got 8 million tourists and the FNM got only 7 million? But that's the most, that's a stupid question. Very stupid question. I have to tell you. Mad? First of all, the Bahamas had only about a million or so tourists at one point, and then it got two and three and four. Why would they be mad? I mean, you sound like a PLP trying to find a story in a genuine inquiry, right? That's what you sound like to me. This is just nonsense, right? Yeah, I said this before, delighted for 8 million tourists, delighted for whatever we have, right? But why would we not be also interested in finding out why do we get record million tourists, 8 million tourists, but we can't get a record spending? And see, let me show you how people, I want y'all to listen to this text, this texter, and their bias. Political propagandist ways, are we mad because the PLP got 8 million tourists? Did I not say the Aguila announced 7 million tourists, no record spending? Chester Cooper mentioned the, announced 8 million tourists, no record spending. This biased soul only heard PLP, 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 PLP. Well, listen, I ain't living on that land. No, you are living on. So you live next door to 400 million people, you can't get 40 million, 10%. Well, I mean, you maybe you can't. Maybe you can't. We don't need 40. We don't, maybe we don't need 40 million now, but we get like 2%. So we're in the conceptual economy now and the Internet of Things, and hundreds of rooms are being added each year through Airbnb, more affordable. Yeah, but one, the room numbers would be, okay, let me step up. Remember now, it wasn't me who said we are being limited by the number of rooms. It wasn't me who said that. It was the Deputy Prime Minister and Minister of Finance who said that. I mean, Minister of Tourism who said that. So he is telling you who are saying the people are coming by Airbnb, we don't have more tourists because we don't have more rooms. So apparently your Airbnb rooms are not doing for him what he thinks the country needs. Hence, he's at the opening of the British Colonial Hotel, celebrating that and saying, we need more of this. He didn't say more Airbnb. He didn't say that. So there you go. By the way, you know that less expensive hotel accommodations can also mean less spending for yourself, right? It could, on the hotel side of it, it could mean more if people are buying stuff locally to feed themselves. This text says Canadians are saying we're an overpriced destination. Maybe it's due to labor costs and energy costs. Commercial enterprise bill 2018 should assist with this. The Canadians are going to have expense issue because the Canadian dollar hasn't been faring so well. So yeah, they would find the exchange problematic for sure. But the vast majority of your tourists come from the United States and your exchange with them is dollar to dollar. So you may still be expensive for them, but not because your exchange rate causes them to have to spend more money. This text says the demand for resort tourism is increasing and a cruise ship is basically a resort. An all-inclusive of sorts. With that type of tourism, the local money spend doesn't happen. And you believe that we can't increase our tourism, our cruise visitors, and have more people come here by stopover. We are just that not interesting that people want to spend only 2 days here. Maybe that's what it is. Okay. You're listening to Z Live, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We'll be back after this break. Take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together.
Wherever you are in the world, Cleveland Clinic's world-class care is here for you. From Ohio to Florida to London, Cleveland Clinic treats thousands of patients every year, ranked number 2 in the world by Newsweek. You can trust our caregivers to enhance your experience across each step of your treatment journey. For every care in the world, learn more at clevelandclinic.org/Caribbean.
Get ready to jingle all the way to Christmas with Fidelity's Festive Giveaway, with over $10,000 in cash and prizes up for grabs. Apply for a loan or open an ASU savings account for a chance to win big. Visit any of our branches for more details. Terms and conditions apply.
The Grand Bahama News is available every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian. You can buy your local paper at Freeport convenience stores, Western Bakery, DeGregory's Fine Foods, and Bellevue Gifts. Now is the time to reach your Grand Bahama market with affordable packages, including print and digital. Call GB News sales representative Kavondre at 822-6717 or message him on WhatsApp for ad rates. Classified ads are now available every Tuesday as well. Keep up with everything Grand Bahamian every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid to take a stand, everybody. Come take my hand, we'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather, cold or warm, send you know that you're not.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. I'm so glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Monday afternoon. If you want to give us a call, the numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can call us from the Family Islands on 242-300-5720. You can text us on 422-4796, or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. This text says, and each year in my experience, food and beverage keeps raising the budget year over year in the hotel. So the revenue made in 2022, they will increase by 8 to 10%. Okay. This text says, wow, there's a lot of text. I'm a little lost trying to get placed. Says the demand for resort tourism is increasing. So how was Abaco, one third of all tourist dollars staying in the Bahamas, lost during Dorian when they don't have a big cruise ship or a big hotel? Because Abaco has a huge second home market, huge, and a sailing community that patronizes the place right crazy. So it wasn't about resorts only. They have resorts, mind you. They have hotels. But Abaco has a lot of people who call on Abaco second home residents and the like, and they would have all been displaced during the hurricane. And their spending is substantially more per capita than anywhere else, maybe other than, maybe better than Grand Bahama, New Providence, because of the nature of their tourists, right? These second homeowners who come in and they're there for months during the winter, they're sailing, they're there in the harbor, the docks for months. This text is switching gears. Only 16% of Americans have any confidence in their governance. Will we be at 16 voter turnout next lap? I have no idea what we will be, but we'll see. We'll see. So you've now lost investor confidence because of 50 years of doing crazy stuff. I don't need to list it. I'm talking nonsense. You're talking nonsense. So you can't just say stuff like that, right? Where's your evidence of the loss of investor confidence? Or you mean in the tourism sector? So you got to specify, right? Are you saying we did 50 years of nonsense in the tourism sector and lost investor confidence? So that's why Sir Kushner came. That's why Bahama came. And that's why Hutchison Whampoa came. And some others came because we did 50 years of nonsense. Now, I'm with you that something is happening where our investment in tourism, remember also at the point, you know, Margaritaville, that's here. All right, so something is happening for sure. So I'm not denying something is happening, but I don't know about this doing crazy stuff. I mean, that's like, what is the crazy stuff we did? What we did? What was the crazy stuff? You mean like allow all this abundant concessions? What's the crazy stuff? This text says hundreds of new Airbnb hotels where the people have ownership, not slaves working for someone else's hotel where the money leaves the country, shoot, and never comes to the country. They book it in some foreign country. Hundreds, if not thousands, of Airbnb have come online. You're not paying attention to the shift in tourism due to the Internet of Things and the conceptual economy. It will be to your own demise. It won't be, first of all, my brother, you have no idea what I'm doing. Or sister, right? You're just talking. Secondly, you are just blurting out that these thousands of Airbnb have come on stream. Based on what? Where? Tell us. Where you get them numbers from? I'm not saying you're wrong, but where you get them numbers from? You counted them? You say the Internet of Things. Well, why don't you demonstrate it to me on the Internet? Shoot me something from the Internet that verifies your thousands have come on stream. I know that Airbnb are coming alive, and you need to really ask people questions before you make assertions about life. Okay? Just because you're using these terminology don't mean you're talking to idiots. right? Because you have no idea what some of us are doing, right? But secondly, like you have the Internet of Things. You got all the facts. Why don't you just shoot us something that verifies what you say? We know that the Airbnb numbers are going up because that's why the government is trying to get some taxes from it now. And I think Airbnb is a great thing. Love it. Wonderful. Right? But you see how you're thinking? So yes, Bahamians who convert their stuff to Airbnb, that's great. That allows those with that level of capital to do the same thing. But why can't you own some hotels too? You can do that. You know, that's, but you can't do that anymore because you can't do anything anymore, everything anymore. Okay, I got you. This text is correct. We should never have allowed resorts because people don't have to leave those for food or activities. You should have many hotels, however. This is how you get money spent with locals. So you think the government, if a person says they want to develop a resort like Atlantis, the government should say no. Okay. Say, I'm not a PLP. Well, see, you don't have to tell me whether you're a PLP or not a PLP, but if you sound like you're fighting for some cause, accusing me or something, it ain't laughable to me. See, because I don't want to reduce these discussions to partisan politics. So that's not a joke to me. It's not funny to me. And so if you sound like a duck, you quack like a duck, you walk like a duck. Somebody say, this person say, I'm not a PLP or FNM. Independence in 2012. That means you're a disgruntled PLP then. That's what you mean. Since 2012, that's what you mean. That's what you are. You were one of them things. Says you cannot get a record spending because you've allowed resorts, cruise ships, and otherwise, where the money doesn't even come to the Bahamas when they book. They keep the money in the port, in the hotel. Interesting. So now I don't know how, you see, y'all are making an assumption. And I have to check this. I really do. I have to check this. So let me ask you a question. Is the government of the Bahamas charging room tax? Tell me that. Those of you who now know how the people get paid and so forth and so forth, and how that works. Tell me how the government gets paid a room tax. The government gets paid a room tax on the fact that somebody booked that room, right? Where's that hotel? Where's that hotel? Is that hotel in the Bahamas? So you're telling me that having bought that hotel room in the Bahamas, that revenue is not a part of the GDP of the Bahamas. That's what you're telling me? Okay. Then why is the government taxing it? If the money is purely delivered in the United States of America, why is the government taxing it? How does that work? How do you tax monies derived in a foreign jurisdiction that isn't counted as a part of your GDP or GNP? How does that work? Maybe you have an answer. I'd be happy to hear it. Says, instead of getting $3 to make the bed, I get $100 a night and I get the maintenance cleaning fee. Tourism 2.0. Man, listen to me. I hear you, right? I hear you. Keep talking, though. Keep talking. It's a good thing you're talking anonymously. Keep talking. You keep talking because you don't have any expenditure for your hotel, for your Airbnb, hey? Because you built that out your pocket, so you don't pay any mortgage fees. No, you don't have any utility expenses, right? You don't have any water, no power, no internet. You don't pay a maid. You do it all yourself because you have what, one room, two rooms? So you just have pure profits. Okay. This text says, Marlon Johnson told me there's no difference at all. Boils out in the end with the Bahamian versus Canadian currency, but he was very good at BTC. Say, it all boils out in the end with the Bahamian versus Canadian currency? How? How does that happen? Maybe you could help me. I don't know. If your dollar is one to 75, you're paying 25% premium on your expenses in the Bahamas. Who would not want to have a different scenario for themselves? What washes that out for them? Now, it may wash out for them if they are a resident of the Bahamas, because as a resident of the Bahamas, they now get taxed on Bahamian taxation system, not on the Canadian taxation system. So it might be a wash for those people. For a tourist, Canadian tourist, don't wash out. So you may have misunderstood, Mr. Johnson. So let's go by the numbers. How many people are leaving the boat? Well, I think they normally say about 60% or so. How many people are leaving the port? I don't know. 20 years ago, when I went to Venezuela, I didn't leave the port either for safety reasons. But four short Saturday mornings, maybe smart to say, who makes the money there? Well, that's your experience. I went on a cruise and I left the boat and I left the port and I went all over the island. So did many other people who were on the side of me, behind me, driving in this and driving in that, riding in the next thing. So your anecdotal experience isn't the experience of everybody. When I walk down Bay Street and I go by the downtown, let's go downtown Bay Street when the boats are in. But even if it's 60% of people, they come out the boat and they go down the port, they go down to Saunders Beach, et cetera, on the Arawaki, and so forth and so forth. So you know, we know that the numbers, the spending isn't, you know, it isn't lavish, you know that, but they do come out. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We're going to take a break. We'll be back after this break.
Secure your financial future with RF Bank and Trust. Explore the RF Secured Balance Fund, designed for long-term financial security. This diversified fund offers both growth potential and a steady income source. Plan for the long term with a recommended minimum investment of 5 years. With over 2 decades of experience, RF Bank and Trust is your expert in preserving and growing wealth. We're your local private bank, connecting you with the best local and international investment opportunities. Don't miss the chance to secure your financial future with RF Bank and Trust.
Wait, why you look so mashed up, like clothes at the washer?
No, wait, just a hard day. Wait.
Hard day? What happened? The breakfast lady ran out of tuna and gritsy.
We need to start joking with everything, you know. This serious, boy. This real serious, boy.
Wait, what's serious? Tell me.
All right, well, today, boss gave us boy one big, big contract. And nobody else get a chance and nobody say nothing.
Boy, you right. You know government contracts ain't supposed to go that way?
Yeah, but nobody saying nothing. Boss man just tell people to sign the papers. Then he sent me to meet his boy downtown and collect this envelope.
You need to tell somebody. You need to become a whistleblower.
You know I's a real man, but I never blow no whistle. I be drunk all my life in Junkano.
No way. A whistleblower is someone who tells people what they see when they see something wrong happening at work.
But I ain't no whistleblower, and I ain't no snitch. I still wait there, you know.
But ain't nobody gonna know it's you. All you gotta do is call Crime Stoppers, or you could text them from inside the Crack Crime Bahamas app. They don't ask about you, and your call goes straight through to Miami, so nobody know who you is. And if you text, your message get mixed up like Kong Salad.
Call 308-8477 from Nassau, or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Monday afternoon. If you want to give us a call, you can call us on 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259 from the Family Islands, 242 300-5720. You can text us on 422-4796, or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. This text says, please tell the texter that the conceptual economy and the Internet of Things have nothing to do with hotel room nights, bed and breakfast, or short-term vacation rentals. In fact, please have them call in and explain the conceptual economy implementation in relation to the Bahamian economy. I keep hearing these two things thrown around across your talk show as if it is some pill to be taken to fix our economic challenges. I need people to not adopt or adapt this conceptual economic concept misinformation as a possible we can implement. But bro, listen, I hear all kind of things on this show. People, I don't know what they think they're impressing, but, you know, more power to them. More power to them, right? Let me tell you, because at the end of the day, talking, these highfalutin stuff and not translating them into something really is just more talk, right? That's what it amounts to. It's just more talk. Right? Especially when it's disconnected from reality. Right? An Airbnb concept is no different than any business concept. You got to make the revenue, meaning you have to attract the customers. And frankly, that's done by Airbnb by placing you on their platform. But you still have to have a property attractive enough. And you got to hope when people come there, they don't find a bus up this and a bus up that and a bus up the next thing, which I have experienced. And left the bad reviews for the people, and you know, so that you don't get repeat visitors. And I've made recommendations to people and still listen, man, visual of the sea, but you really have to do something with your kitchen, your bedroom and stuff and that, because none of that is represented on your pretty pictures, right? But you still have you track your revenue, and you still have expenses associated with the property. And if you're not operating it like it is a business, it's still going to flounder in just like any hotel could or any other thing could, right? So more power to all the Airbnb people. A successful one of them could be really lucrative. And I know some people who are benefiting significantly from it. And God bless them. God bless them. May more of them benefit therefrom. This text says, how do we get huge second homeowners in the capital and every other island? Well, first of all, second home ownership, you have second home ownership in New Providence, by the way. Okay, so all these at Albany, a lot of those represent second homes, third homes for people, okay? Sometimes fourth homes. You have in Lifeaki, most of those people. A lot of those people, a number of those people could be second homeowners or started out as second homeowners. And then you have an old Fort Bay and Fort New Providence and stuff like that. You have second homeowners. So you do have second homeowners in New Providence. And then Grand Bahama, you have them. Also, you have them in Exoma. You have them in the Berries. So you have them in other islands. Abaco like was ahead of the pack. Right. And so they created, they had developed a significant one. And then they have like a sailing group. I mean, like the yachtsmen and people. So, you know, every place, and you have some of those in New Providence and some of the other islands as well. But Abaco did a fantastic job of attracting that crowd. This text says, speaking of concessions or assistance, have we given to small businesses in 50 years? Absolutely. Absolutely. Item provision of the Tariff Act, the Export Manufacturers Act, the Agricultural Encouragement, all kinds of concessions are given to small businesses in the Bahamas under law, and including the Hotel Encouragement Act, which is given to, also provided for small businesses. So yes, this text is calling but not answering as usual. Disgruntled FNM, and you need running jokes today, man. People trying to get serious and you're running jokes. So where's the rum book in New Providence or some other country? Where does the money go? New Providence Bank or some other country? First of all, this, you know what? I don't have time for that. Oh, damn it, I mean, honestly, because I see you joking. Because you well, maybe let me help you, because you clearly don't understand. You don't understand. So your suggestion is, so if money don't land on my account in the Bahamas, it isn't. That's your suggestion. That's the way you think the modern world would work. Okay. I understand where you are. Say, pure profit is better than making a few dollars making a bet. But first of all, you know, see, you are an insult. You are an insult to workers in the Bahamas. You the text just now, you are an insulter to a person who works in the hotels. You should be ashamed of yourself. All these women and men who have taken care of children, send them off to school, making beds and tending to rooms. And you are saying to them, pure profits. You have no clue. If I go and spend my labor somewhere, I give my labor, my time, my energy, my effort, and you give me $20,000, $40,000 a year, where's the lack of pure profit in that? You know why? You can't even think that way. You don't see that. The laborer has taken home pure profit. A laborer takes home money many times when an owner does not. But you couldn't understand that because you're on a different trip. Say, so should have had a Bahamas BB and Puerto Rico. Oh, Lord Jesus. Stop texting, man. Stop. I done. I'm so sorry. Actually, I thought I was reading the Guardian's text 9. So I really was wasting my time reading your text. I'm honest. Some of them. Honestly, I'm sorry. This says, good day, Lang. It's ludicrous what Chess is saying. Why was LucasArts never... What? A local art never were filled up? I think maybe you might want to retype that because we missed something here. Says Lang, you making sense? They're talking about the record breaking, but not no record spending because draw vendors still hollering. Fed and immigration know how many tourists travel here. They ask where you will be staying. Yes, immigration will definitely. Okay. Bro, don't text me no more. I ain't reading no more text, man. You ain't serious today. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z Live. I'm Chivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio. We're going to take a break for news. And when we come back, we will continue our discussions. We'll be back after the news break.
Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
I'm not afraid to take a stand. Everybody, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm, let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Chivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Monday afternoon. If you want to give us a call, you can call us on 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325 4259 in Family Islands. You can call us on 242-300-5720. You can text us on 422-4796, or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. You know, when you are in politics and you are government, you're on the firing line so often. You know, you're on the firing line from the opposition. You're on the firing line from Bahamians who believe that if their lives aren't better, then it's because you're not doing your job. So you're on the firing line often. So what it leads to is a eagerness to capitalize on any good news you have. And that's understandable. I mean, if you're going to get punched up for every bad piece of news, then you want to be able to capitalize on any good piece of news. So the tourist numbers hit 7 million, you go and you brag about it. They hit 8 million, you brag about it. That makes sense. That's good news. You want to brag about it. The murder rate goes down, you brag about it. Why? Because when they go up, you get punched up for it, right? So that makes sense. You're going to brag about it. And that's part of the political public relations dynamics of a democratic society. So I don't begrudge that. I don't criticize political figures for that. As it stands, for instance, if you're Chester Cooper, you're Prime Minister Davis, and you're the PLP administration, you have a right to brag about that stuff because that's good news for you. Like, you want to make sure the number's accurate, always, you know, so they're not contested. But, you know, if the numbers are what they are, then you get to be, brag about it because you presided over that. It may not even be that your policies directly contributed to that. It could be, as some people say, oh, it's the accident of the pandemic and us being closed. Doesn't matter. You're presiding. Just as you don't cause people to murder, but people blame you for high murder rate, you take credit for that. And so do that. Do that. But how about we dive deeper in this way, right? I mean, seriously, if you're the government, right, it's got to be like, what is it that you would like to concretely measure and account for when you look at what your efforts are doing for the country, right? You want economic activity have to translate into better for Bahamians, right? Meaning you want to point to, well, we were here when it came to employment in this sector, we are now here given these movements, right? We were here when it came to salaries and income in this sector, we are now here. We know that these businesses have either developed out of this development or expanded because of this development. We used to have a export level of this amount, and now we are at this amount. So we if we can have concrete information translating the movement, the big movement that people are celebrating, then that bodes even better. I mean, of course, it'd be even better when people themselves feel it and they bragging it for you. But if not, it's not always the case that it's so broad-based or indirect in some individual measurable things. And here's the thing, right? In all of these categories of things, the measurers is the government. Yeah, the government is the measurer. Yeah, right? The government measuring the unemployment rate through the department, the Bahamas National Statistical Institute, they're not directly, but indirectly. right? The government is the measurer of business license applications and approvals in areas. The government is the measurer of the level of revenue made by people with the business license, right? The government is the measurer of investments in the area, the government. So the government is the measurer. But those measurements, that tracking takes work. It takes dogged work. It takes a level of effective and efficient collection of data that then can be translated into these are the results that we are seeing. And I'm telling you, this is not happening nearly sufficiently in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. When I was an investment officer in the Bahamas Investment Authority in the office of the Prime Minister, I was no cabinet minister. I was no member of parliament. I never run for office in my life. I was simply a worker. Ingram, challenged by the opposition then, this was in 1995 or thereabouts. He was being challenged by the opposition that, they was just selling all the land to foreigners, and the foreigners are doing this and the foreigners are doing that. So he needed to get data to establish, this was especially around the International Land Holding Act implementation and the repeal of the Immovable Properties Act. He needed to establish what was happening with land sales and all that kind of stuff. So they asked me to assemble this data. And for weeks, I took every file, every application and all that from the investment board and from the National Economic Council. And I inputted that data so that we were counting potential employment, employment created, investment level of revenue, land sales from who. And he was then able to go in the House of Assembly and say, first of all, that the majority of land being sold in the country is being sold foreigner to foreigner, which meant that his come to office. The land was sold prior to his coming onto office under the Immovable Properties Act. He was able to talk about the level of investment potential, employment potential and employment created by these things and where these were and so forth and so forth. That's when you take a deep dive into the data. And the government should have analysts on hand doing that. It does not. It does not. And therefore, there is seldom any direct connection between policy and outcome. There's only political rhetoric. This is not just with the Minister Davis administration. It was true under the Minnis administration, true under the Christie administration. It was true under the Ingram administration, but for some areas where there was some dialogue about direct outcomes. Ingram was a little bit more attentive to matters than that. I could tell you that. You could read them in his speeches. But there's too little of that done. And so we get to float around all day saying, we did this, we did this, between policy implementation and outcome. We do not know if our proximity to the United States of America today, in the waning period of the pandemic, is the major contributor to any increase in tourism versus something directly that the government has done that collected X number of tourists from these destinations, et cetera. We do not know that. Not because it does not exist, but we don't know it because nobody has connected the two in any way that we could know. And so on the one hand, either you as a population become the recipients of propaganda, or on the other hand, you are robbed of an understanding of how policy is working in your favor. And so what happens sometimes is that people take on anecdotally the experience of living under your governance, and then they translate their experience into policy outcome. That's what you're up against. And the truth might be far different, that maybe all the people on this side of the world, of the Bahamas, are benefited, and the people on that side of the Bahamas did not benefit, but at least the numbers could speak to who benefited and why. The data could, the analysis could, but we don't do it. We don't do it. So all we get to be subjected to is the pronouncements, the opinionating, either by the opposition or the government, about what is or is not happening in the country. On both sides of the divide, there can be limited information provided in terms of analysis and data to support positions taken. And you then have to decide. But politicians are very sensitive to negative aspersions. Most of us are, but they're super sensitive to it. Why would they be super sensitive to it? Well, their political life depends on popularity. Their currency, their wealth is popularity. An unpopular politician is going to lose his seat. A popular one is likely going to win his seat. A popular prime minister is likely going to take the government. An unpopular prime minister is likely going to lose the government. Popularity is the currency of politics. You are rich if you are popular. You are poor if you are not popular. So anything that threatens your popularity is a thing you feel like you got to doggedly attack. And anything that you think may boost your popularity is something that you got to prop up and pump up and pump up as much as you can pump up and prop up. Highly, highly sensitive to negative information. Like, for instance, right? Economies ebb and flow. That's just the nature of economies. It's called the business cycle. They ebb and they flow. So you might have an uptick this year, and a downturn this year, and a downturn that year. It isn't necessarily a reflection on anything at all you've done. Oh, but that ain't how politicians treat it. When the uptick comes, that's me. When the downtick comes, that's the opposition. Not the other people. I understand that. I understand that dynamics. But at some point, somebody has to say, you know what? I would more rather inform you and educate you about how our system works, and to find ways to measure the results of my activity rather than falsely take credit for a thing I had nothing to do with, or falsely be blamed for a thing I had nothing to do with. I would rather be in that situation. We have a caller on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
How you doing, Mr. Lang? How you doing? Sialan Johnson.
Hey, Sialan, what's up?
Yeah, man. I heard you were speaking a foreign language on the air, so I figured out.
Which was it, French? Which was it, French? Ukrainian?
When you went to the fact that we need qualitative and quantitative data analysis as part of our country economic development strategy, it's something that I've been advocating for. I want to speak to you about the tourism thing, but a lot of people may not understand this is something then, you know, the adaptive, descriptive, responsive, reactive, predictive, diagnostic, social, dark, prescriptive analytics, all those different type of things utilizing big data. For me, I see the potential that we could be leaving $1 billion or $2 billion on the table that could increasingly impact our economic situation, which brings me to the statement you made concerning the hotel rooms. You know, if you use the data from, I think, like 2019 was the last time I did, just not having all of the data that was needed, but I did made a recommendation to some individuals in tourism, and in fact, in the I think it's the midterm budget of 2019-2020, I think the prime minister at the time referred to the possibility that if you use the things in, we have 17,000 rooms, just for argument's sake, including the bed and breakfast, there's just under 1,000 of them listed. And the fact that our most banner year put us at about 62% occupancy average for the entire year for 2019, that if you extrapolate from that the total the rooms and then you extrapolate the room nights, it could very well mean that we're leaving almost 2 million room nights on the table. So you'd have to ask you have to question the statement by Minister of Tourism, is that if you have 2 million room nights on the table, this lack that he's speaking of. Yeah, what we have to do is we have to find methods to increase the total yearly average above the 62% in the tourism industry that we have, maybe by embracing some different marketing schemes and even involving individuals with some online travel agencies or whatever it is, if we could get that actual data to actually have it. I do know, however, that we do need a destination. We often just kind of rely on sunshine and sea, which we are seeing now. People are becoming very competitive with us around the world, even creating artificial beaches and etc. That we need to have refined destination where, not just for tourism, where we can say people can live, work, study, play, visit, explore, invest, dine, shop, whatever it is in the Bahamas. I think that we just haven't reimagined our tourism product. We've just been coasting along since the 60s or whatever it is that we came up with it. And you're absolutely correct. If we begin to become a data-based decision-making economy, we could totally begin a process of tapping into, how you say, unseen and the intangible part of the aspect of it. And
Let me ask you a question. Who's going to reimagine our tourism?
We do. The individuals have to, not the government.
I
want to fully understand. The only thing I want government to do is legislation, policies, procedure, process, programs, whatever. I don't need them to create businesses. The government should not. In fact, I am one to believe that we need to somehow grow the economy to the fact that government no longer represents 20% of it. Mm. So, and once we can do that, and there's a lot of opportunities, and we have people throw these things around like conceptual economy and aquamarine economy and crypto economy and blue, green, everything, but nobody really talks to the actually house, you know, the what, where, when, whatever, and house of it, but because we find things on the internet.
Me and some of my partners are trying to reimagine it, I can tell you that.
Right, and this is what
we are trying.
Right, but this is where my wife and I have spent the last 5 years looking at what is and what was to come, like what's now, what's new, and what's next. And we've been working on reimagining the economy and tapping into those very things that I spoke of. This is why when the Prime Minister spoke about a month or two before the pandemic, when he spoke about the possibility of tapping into these room nights, I would like to assume that came out of my conversation, actually our conversation with individuals in tourism that came across his desk, is understand, because nothing happened after that. Just if we can just begin to look at what it is we have, and we've looked at creating platforms to be able to digitize the tourism product and allow individuals to actually begin to go, it would say online travel agencies and other things, to capture those room nights that's just sitting there vacant. Because if you can capture them, the person who say they have nothing else to do, and instead of watching YouTube and TikTok and latest dance craze, whatever, they could go to these various rooms and put together packages and other different things and maybe can capture those underutilized, non-income producing rooms inside of the hotel. But like you say, if each of us do our part, the burden becomes less, and hopefully we can all come together sooner rather than later to redefine who we are and what we want to be.
Appreciate it, man. Thanks so much. We appreciate it. This text says, good day, good show. I think it's time that the government digitize the form that tourists complete when they arrive and leave. They should also add the relevant questions needed to improve our tourism product. By digitizing, we would be more confident in statistics reported. I hope this is implemented soon rather than later. As a matter of fact, you know, I have, like, say some negative comments about it. I haven't heard a lot, but some people. But I rather like that customs app that allows you to declare before you land. Now, if we could do that for customs, well, we could do that for tourists. We could say to the tourists, please go on this app and fill out your form. We could do that, I'm sure people at the digitization department, the government digitization department, could do that. And I think that'd be useful. It might be able to give more timely information to folk. So who knows? But customs, government, salute you, man. I like the app. I like it's relatively simple to fill out. Now, sometimes when you're trying to determine what item you have to declare, obviously there's not an exhaustive list, so it could create some challenges there, but I rather like it. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We'll be back.
I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather, cold or warm. Let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Spice up your taste buds this season with the new Jalapeno Rodeo Burger at Burger King Nassau. Each bite of the Jalapeno Rodeo features a classic flame-grilled beef patty, pepper jack cheese, crunchy fried onions, and a spicy jalapeno kick, topped with barbecue and chipotle sauce served on a soft potato bun. The Jalapeno Rodeo Burger is even tastier in a combo with our new half-seas, half onion rings, and half french fries with a drink, or cool it down with a new and delicious creamy floats collection at Burger King Nassau, where taste is king.
Secure your financial future with RF Bank and Trust. Explore the RF Secured Balance Fund, designed for long-term financial security. This diversified fund offers both growth potential and a steady income for the long term with a recommended minimum investment of 5 years. With over two decades of experience, RF Bank and Trust is your expert in preserving and growing wealth. We're your local private bank, connecting you with the best local and international investment opportunities. Don't miss the chance to secure your financial future with RF Bank and Trust.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Monday afternoon. If you want to give us a call, the numbers to do 2 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can call us from the Family Islands on 242-300-5720. You can text us on 422-4796, or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. This text says, hello, sir, it is being worked on. That's the digital forms for the tourists to complete upon arrival. Excellent. Excellent. See, right? Excellent. I mind you, I know that the department, but I know that they're working on a lot of stuff. I know they have the infrastructure. Some of us help get it there. If I might brag myself. So that's excellent, excellent, excellent. That's the way to go, you know, be able to use that data, get better, quicker analytics about what's happening, who's coming, where they're coming, why they're coming, and all that kind of stuff. And the tourists seem willing to do it, even in the paper form. So let's get that moving. That sounds good. Thank you very much for informing us. Well, no, yeah, you're listening, so you're listening to me, right? I believe actually that tourism, even the current level of tourists we have, current level of tourists, represents massive possibilities for the Bahamas. I really believe that. I mean, 8 million tourists, if that's the number coming, 6 plus million or so coming by cruise, and the like, and the 1 plus million or almost 2 coming by stop or by air, represents a massive opportunity for us. Still, why do I say that? How many people believe that the tourists who come here don't have $100 more they could spend here if something compelled them to do so? You don't believe that? That they'll spend $100 million more if somebody gave them a reason to spend it. So if you believe that that is true, guess what that represents for you on an annual basis? $800 million more. $800 million more. How many people in the Bahamas? Just under 400,000. That means that $2,000 ahead more on an annual basis over 10 years, that's $8 billion. $8 billion. So what's the challenge there for us? What's the challenge there? To go and cry to the government and tell the government y'all need to get your act together? That's what the challenge is? To go and tell Mr. Cooper he needs to go do something more? No, that's not the challenge there. You say, oh, they're not coming off the boat. How many of you sit down home when an event is going on because you don't think that event is compelling enough for you? But if a more compelling event happened, would you not go? You'd go if the event suited you, if the event appealed to you. So the people who are on the boat getting entertained by the boat, they're on the boat because they whatever is on the boat is enough for them. You can't cry about that and kick somebody for that and complain about that and criticize. That's nonsense. It's nonsense. It's nonsense. You being a baby. What you crying for? What you have to figure out is, okay, so we got 60% of them off the boat. Those 40%, what is it that they want to, what would get them to come off the boat? Maybe you're not going to get all of them to come off the boat. It's fine. Can I get one? That's not Mr. Cooper's job. That's not Prime Minister Davis's job. That is your job, my job. We Bahamian citizens who believe we got all this ingenuity and all this creativity and all this wonderful stuff that we keep telling people we're better than everybody else and we can do this better than everybody else. This is our island, our country, and we can't get the people off the boat to spend $100 more. That's on us. Maybe our generation won't do it. Maybe the one behind us will find a way. Maybe they won't do it. Maybe the one behind them will find a way. But the people who have come before us have laid the foundation to give us a captive market. 8 million souls landing on our shores. 8 million souls. God dang it. Eight. Maybe the 7.6 million. Still. $760 million a year. Out of 100 to that? Out of 100 to that? That's a billion plus. That's on us. Stop beating up your gum and chewing up your gum and criticizing and condemning everybody and hating on people and envying people. No, bro. Me and you got to sit down and figure it out. And it ain't easy all the time. You know why? Because there's competition out there. You got to compete with the stuff on the boat. You got to compete with the stuff already existing off the boat. But that's the challenge. That's the entrepreneur's challenge. That's why everybody is an entrepreneur. That's why less than 20% of your whole, lots of people don't want to put that kind of brain muscle into figuring it out. I was talking to some young people Friday night gone, and I was saying to them that the work required. See, I said, why are they teaching you math? You think it's about trigonometry. You think it's about Pythagoras theorem. You think it's about some pre-calculus stuff. I said, but that's not what they're doing. They're trying to teach you how to figure stuff out. That's what calculation is. That's what math is. Math is calculation. Calculation is how to figure stuff out, how to take premises and reach logical conclusions on the basis of those premises, how to think. That's what it is. I said, you think they're trying to teach you gerunds and verbs and alliteration and personification? They're not trying to, they're trying to teach you how to communicate in any environment in which you find yourself. But you have to figure it out. That's the job, man. You want, see, let me tell you, a young man walked up to me complaining about a business he has and how the governing this and the governing that. And he's been trying to get to promote his stuff. And I said, bro, you can't come to me sounding like no victim if you're an entrepreneur. You can't do that. I said, let me tell you why. I said, because if you figured this out and you made millions, you wouldn't go back to the government and say, but listen, you know, but you and y'all were so helpful in giving me a secure environment in which to operate and allowing me to be able to do this. I want to give you all half of my profits, you know, because you all have been so good to me. You wouldn't say that to the government. You never do. You go and enjoy your profits and live your life, and that's what you should be. I said, well, if that's true, why are you not putting all of your stuff on the government? What have you been doing? We went through that talk. It's on us. We got to do our stuff and figure it out, man. Listen, you ain't need to sell to 7 million to us. You only need to sell to 5 million. You don't need to sell to 1 million. You don't need to sell to 500,000. You could sell to $100,000, $10 to $100,000, $1 million. Every year, 10% of $1 million, $100,000. That's a good income. That's better income than most Bahamians are making. It's Texas to guarantee our future. We must collectively create it. Not just in hospitality and tourism, but across all industries in the Bahamas and the ones we would like to see created. If the stopover current numbers are correct, then it would represent $720 million if $100 additionally spent. Now add 30% plus of unused rooms. Now add the $4.2 million if we can get them to spend $100 more each. I will send for 50% of crews to spend $100. Yeah. The opportunities exist. There's no question about that. Massive opportunities still exist, and I believe it. We have a call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, ma'am. How are you?
I'm great. Listen, when are the government going to get to these roads? Because these roads are horrible. Okay, horrible.
You didn't see the minister's announcement that $98 million is going to be spent over the next 2.5 years?
No, I did not.
Oh, yeah. He's the minister of works. He's in the news saying that. And that's, as a matter of fact, that's the allocation that has been made for the next 2.5 years, approximately $98 million.
Okay.
So
when
it will start, I cannot say, but that's what has been indicated.
Okay, because I put in for some of these holes from November 8th, and to this day, the hole's still not fixed.
You're looking for a Christmas present from your MPs or Black people. So asking people what they wanted the last time, and the roads came up a lot through that show.
Oh, really?
So, yeah. It was like the day after the show. We did an announcement, and all kinds of people were talking about the roads and the potholes and the need for the roads. And the day after that was when we heard the announcement about the roads.
Okay. Oh, great.
So let's see what happens. And so keep us informed. If you don't see nothing, call us back.
I sure will.
Thank you so much.
Okay.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. All right, ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We're going to take a break, our final break, to pay our respects to our wonderful sponsors. And when we come back, we will wrap up. We'll be back after this break.
Take a stand, everybody.
Marsh the car. The lady run into me, Marsh the car.
I hope she had insurance.
If she had insurance, she hop out, pull out her phone, pull out the Royal Star Assurance app, and bang, she was on a video call with an RSA rep, sending pictures of her damage, my damage, filing a claim on the spot.
For real? Our insurance have that kind of app?
You gotta go to RSA for that.
Download the RSA app today, or visit rsabahamas.com to submit your claim online. Live chat available weekdays 9 to 5.
Child, Fidelity can on this year with their new festive giveaway. You could win cash, an iPhone 15, get a bill paid off, PS5, all kind of things. Apply for a loan or an ASUS savings account, and you could win. Try our call them now. Yeah? 356-7764.
We're good for
this. Is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road, whatever weather, cold or warm. Send you know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Frank Shivago Lang, your host. We're so glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Monday afternoon. If you want to give us a call in these remaining moments of the show, you can call us on 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can text us. You can WhatsApp us. Or you can call us from the Family Islands on 242-300-5720. You can text us on 422-4796 or WhatsApp me on phone 439-3043. So let's suppose you're sitting down, laying down, standing up, driving, and you broke his head. Let's just say. Or let's say we have a call on the line. Let me get to you. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Yeah, good afternoon, Mr. Lang. I hope you're doing well, sir.
Good man. What's up?
Right, yeah. You know, Mr. Lang, you realize that if out of those 8 million tourists who grace our shores every year, from just 10% of them, that's what? 800,000 dollars or something like that.
You earn the money.
You know, just $1. Just find a product that you could sell that you can make a dollar profit on. See, it's not. Sometimes it's the volume where you make your money. You know, but I another thing is like I was listening to a show earlier on in the morning, and somebody was talking about, you know, capitalism and the government creating the opportunities. But Mr. Lai, you know, in the United States, they tried to, what they say, to eradicate poverty in the early 60s. And what they started to do was to give these handouts, social securities to people for having children. For this, you could get this benefits. And you know what happened to the people? The people didn't want to work. The people didn't want to work. Uncle Sam going, everybody's asking, what is the government doing? What are you doing? What are you doing to make your way? You know, we have people who come into our country with nothing. And a couple of years, and not only here, but also in the U.S. as well. How is it these people can come from these so-called asshole countries? Okay, they live in the same project areas, and the guy say in a matter of a couple of months, they are out of the projects. They have a car. They have a house. And, you know, and you have people, Bahamians, who are in the land of opportunity. But I want you to listen to this by Les Brown. It's called The Uncommon Man. I don't know if you ever heard that before. Have you?
I heard many of Les's stuff, but I don't know if I've seen heard one.
Yeah, but I can try play it, okay?
It's my right to be uncommon if I can. I seek opportunity, not security. I do not wish to be a kept citizen, humbled and dull by having the state look after me. I want to take the calculated risk to dream and to build the fit from hand to mouth. I prefer the challenges of life to the guaranteed existence, the thrill of fulfillment to the stale calm of utopia. I will never cower before any master, nor bend to any threat. It's my heritage to stand erect, proud and unafraid to face the world boldly and say, this I have done.
It's like,
yeah, man. I appreciate it. Thanks a lot. So let me just finish this thought. I was but making to yourselves. So you might be broke, you might be working and still broke, right? Where or you just might be all right and still trying to get better off, etc. Right? Let me give you a challenge for 2024. Decide to be committed to your betterment, as opposed to just being interested in it. I was listening to someone who was distinguishing between interest and commitment. And when you are interested in something, you are only prepared to do what is convenient to get it. When you are committed to it, you'll do whatever it takes. So how would some of us spend next year committed to figuring out a way to pleasure those tourists in noble ways so that they could spend some more money with us. Make that your commitment. And if you're prepared to do what it takes, well, you'll be all right. You may be all right. You're prepared to do what it takes. Stack says, good day. Pardon my text. I was texting earlier. What I meant, the DPM was talking ludicrous about not enough hotel to hold the guest that comes from... But I know myself working there, the hotel might have been 1 month full out of the year, so it's good the DPM could brag about something which is absurd. This text says, clowns on the left, jokers on the right, and idiots trying to send you crazy. Hold your head, Chivago. Don't let them make you crazy. When I met you at Calvary Temple in the 80s, you were impressive then, more so now with this onslaught of lunacy. boy. Life is good. Yeah, so commit yourself to figuring out, man. And what does that mean? So here's how that works for you. Okay, y'all listening? Or should I save my information? I'm going to help you figure out how to work through it. I mean, literally work through it, right? If you're okay and you don't need this, you know, you could turn TV, you could turn radio off now, no problem. I'm talking to people who are trying to get something done, make something done for themselves, right? Trying to get better for themselves. I'm talking to those people. So here's what you got to do the work. So first of all, you got to find some quiet time. All right? I know you love your husband, you love your wife, your boyfriend, your girlfriend, your friends, and so forth, your brothers and sisters. But you got to find some quiet time. You got to get someplace by yourself. If you can't figure it out in the house, if you could go take me from some quiet time, but do not go into your quiet time without a pencil and a paper or a book. Invest in a ideas book. I have idea books. I have mine right here. Right here. What is an ideas book? An ideas book is a something that I'm writing, every idea that comes into my head about something I'm seeking to do. And I am not interested in whether it's a good idea at the moment. I'm just, it's an idea. And you write down whatever idea you have. If you're not serious, if you are not serious, you will not invest in an ideas book and a pencil and pen to do this exercise. If you ain't serious, if you can't get to there, you're not serious. So you need to wait till you can get there. And then when you take some time, so then you start working those ideas in terms of talking about, okay, what would keep this idea from working? Well, first of all, why would it work? Why would it work? Why would this idea I have to sell this to these tourists work? Why would it work? And then you want to ask, why would it not work? Why wouldn't it work? What could get in the way of this? Get past I could overcome the reasons why it might not work to what do I need to make it work? That's the other thing you want to ask. So what do I need to make this work? Maybe you can't yourself come up with that idea. You can't figure it out yourself. That's where you go and find somebody you think can help you figure that out. Right? Remember, commitment is I'm doing whatever it takes, as opposed to I'm doing what is convenient. Whatever it takes. You don't tell me you don't have time. We have lots of time. Lots and lots of time. You say, well, I work here. Yeah, when you work and do the people's job, but after you finish that, you got some time. You don't need a lot of time, you know. You just need quality time. It could be 20 minutes. It could be half an hour. You take what you could get because you're working the idea. You won't work until you can arrive at something you believe is plausible. Now, let me tell you something. Here's the next thing to do. Pray for connections with people who can partner with you in what you're trying to do. Pray for it. Pray for it. Now, once you finish praying for it, as you move about next year, see nothing as a chance, nothing as an accident. Think, you know what? I'm sitting on the side of you in this plane for a reason. You know what? I'm sitting on the side of you in this bus for a reason. You know what? I connected with you at this party for a reason. And how do you figure out the reason? How do you figure that out? Listen. Shut your mouth for a while. Listen. Listen. Because inside, in somebody's complaint or criticism or concern is your opportunity. You hear me? Is your opportunity. Change your dial, change your focus, change your perspective next year. Change that negative talk in your head next year. Stop talking negative talk in your head. Listen to me. Delegate a minimal period of time for talking negative stuff in the news, in politics, and all them kind of stuff, and fill your head up with positive talk. Hallelujah, somebody say. I'm telling you, it'll help to do something with your blood pressure. It'll help to do something with the whole chemistry in your body. It'll do something with your mind and your head and your brain. If you go around people, you could love them and they could love you. But if you go around them and they start bringing your energy down, you move. Don't spend a lot of time. Find some place where your energy is boosted. You need your energy to be at your best at work and all the work. So you got to find ways to replenish your energy and to keep your energy up as long as you can. By your mindset, by your eating, by your exercising, by your relaxation, by your sleeping. Because this is what it's going to take to get you to push. And listen, man, you ain't got to make it big, big, big right away. If you make $2 more than you was making before, aren't you making $2 more than you was making before? If you make $2 a thousand times, ain't you making $2,000? If you make $10 100 times, aren't you making $1,000? So you don't worry about the big numbers coming. You just stay consistent and faithful to what you're doing and watch it grow. And you hit your head with the government only when the government is necessary to help you do what you have to do. But if you don't need the government, leave the government alone. Let them do their job. be committed next year. Them tourists is a blessing. Them tourists is a gift from Almighty God. Millions come here every year. You hear me? It's a blessing from God. You can imagine if they, you can imagine if 7 million used to come this year and then 1 million next year and then 500,000 next year. And then that is what has happened in the Bahamas for years. Millions and millions come. It's a gift. It's a blessing. We just have to figure out how to nurture it more. That's our job. Texas, amen. I told my daughter the same thing this morning, Abel. Hallelujah. Figure it out. Say you unemployed, young man, young woman. Yeah, man, come on. Figure it out. Some of y'all old heads, maybe for you and me, it ain't the thing to do. Maybe we need to help them find their way. Help them make their way. God dang it. Give something. Give something. That's what to do. You say, well, I didn't. The same old, same old, same. No, you just keep trying to get something. Give something. Anyway, man, listen, God bless you all. Been a pleasure. You've been listening to Z Live. I'm Shavago Lang, your host. He spares our lives. We'll talk again tomorrow. Take care. Take a stand. Take a stand. Everybody.